You guys ready for the Word of God?
Yeah.
All right. So one of the most common words that every Christian uses probably every day of their lives is amen. I mean, just think about it. Is there a day that goes by that we're not speaking a silent amen to our own personal prayers? And think about how many times, probably every day, where you're speaking out loud and saying amen to seal your prayers over others, or to add your affirmation of just hearing something that you had heard, an affirmation of a spiritual truth that you heard and you want to receive. But because it is a word that is used with such frequency, sometimes we actually just say it out of habit. It becomes a habitual response. It's like we have a pattern response, and we say that word over specific situations because we've been trained that as Christians, well, this is when believers say amen. And so what happens is, like so many words that get overused, the meaning and the power in that word gets muddled. And it kind of loses some of its meaning to us because we don't think about what we're even saying. And that's a key thing. Sometimes we speak words like amen without giving any thought to what we're even saying. It was a number of years ago, I've known Mark and Jean for decades. It was a number of years ago that Jean was talking to me and she was telling me about this phrase that I always use. She said, yeah, like you always say, no, uh-uh. I don't say that. She said, Todd, you say that all the time. I don't think so. That sounds like something a five-year-old would say. I don't think I say that. She said, Todd, you say that all the time. I probably did. I probably said no. But it wasn't too long after that I was with Jean, and she said something. And I said, no, uh-uh. And she gave me that look of, I guess I do say that a lot. But it's just one of those things that you say so much, you don't even think about it. I wasn't even aware I was even saying it. And it does sound like a five-year-old, even as I say it now. So I apologize to you the number of times that I've acted like a five-year-old in response to whatever you might have been talking to me about. But it's easy for us, and that's what happens with words like amen. They just become rote repetitions that we do. So, what is our intention when we say amen at the end of our prayers? What's our intention? Because I think what happens a lot of times is we kind of use amen, and in our minds, we kind of use it like we are saying this to God. God, this is the end of my spiritual transmission to you. And so now I say over and out, amen. Or sometimes we look at it like maybe we're hitting that send button on our spiritual email or our spiritual text message to God. And once we say amen, it's like, there it is. It's off into the spiritual netherland. Hopefully heaven has a really good strong Wi-Fi signal right now. But I've done my part. I said amen. And these are ways that sometimes we act like that's what's happening when we say amen. So if somebody were to ask you, why do you say amen at the end of your prayers? Or why do you say amen at any other point as you're just going through your daily life and activity? What would you say to them? I think most of us would say something along the lines of, well, amen means so be it. And so it is our statement of faith at the end of our prayers. And that's a really good answer. It's a really good beginning to understanding that. But this is the beauty of any words that you find in the Bible. There is so much more depth than even that. That is a great beginning point. But there's so much to understanding the word amen. So what exactly does amen mean? So be it's a good foundation that we can build upon. But at its most base level of definition, amen means truly, firm, faithful, trust, and I affirm this. Truly, firm, faithful, trust, and I affirm this. And there's also an idea that is actually behind the word amen. It's the idea of speaking so that you can possess something. So amen is really your confession of faith. It is you saying, I have heard the word of God, and I am confirming that the word of God, I put my trust. I truly believe the Word of God is true. I know that it's firmly established. And I believe that God is faithful and true to His Word. So our amen is putting our faith agreement with his word so that we can possess those things that he's already established for us. But because amen has become more of an end of transmission statement instead of a statement of faith, it tends to lose some of the potency that is intended for us. But amen, in a large part, not totally, but amen, in a large part, is thinking about and talking about. What it means is faith that possesses. It's a possessing kind of faith. But if there's no faith behind the words that I utter, then I don't believe it. And if I don't believe it, I'm going to struggle to receive all of those things that God has already established for me. Right? So, Jewish sages of old, they contended that when we say amen, what we were doing is we're confessing that God is in control, he is the king, and his will is true and good, and he is faithful. Now, that is a really good old covenant understanding of the word amen. But as Spirit-filled believers in Jesus Christ, we have a deeper Holy Spirit understanding of the word amen. See, we understand that Jesus has already won the victory over everything for us already. He's already won the victory. So we are already seated with him in heavenly places. And he has already prepared every blessing, every promise, every favor, every deliverance you will ever need. He's already provided for us. Ephesians 2:6 says it simply. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You share in all the victories that he's already won. Everything that you would ever need is already provided for you in the spiritual realm. And when we speak his word and we speak his promises in faith, we are faith possessing. We're possessing in faith those things. So in large part, amen is about faith possessing. Now on a side note, and don't take this next point lightly. It's kind of off the trail a little bit, but it's important. Anytime you hear a speaker, whether it be me or Jeremy or Stephanie or Jeff or Tony or anyone that's standing up here, anytime that you hear a speaker, or if you're listening to the radio or watching TV, if you hear a speaker speaking a truth that you've been praying for or that you desire in your life, say amen out loud. Because it's not about lifting up the speaker. It is about possessing that truth which you heard, you desire, and making it your own. There's power in the spoken word. And if we understand what amen means, we should be actively possessing those things when you hear them and you desire them. So, amen. It's about us speaking. We need to speak the word amen with understanding of its meaning, its purpose, and of the power that is behind that word, amen. Realizing that when we say amen, we are acknowledging that God is faithful. We're acknowledging that God's desire for us is always good, and that he is faithful, and so we can receive those things with grateful certainty. We can receive all those things that he has for us. So now here's the next step in understanding the word amen. A word that we use very frequently, with common word for us. The word amen is derived from a Hebrew phrase, this Hebrew phrase, mighty and faithful king. In fact, if you go back to the very origins of the word amen, it is actually an acronym for the phrase God, faithful king. Why is it an acronym? Well, remember, ancient Hebrew, they didn't use vowels. So the first letters of those three words, God, faithful king, in ancient Hebrew were A, M, and N. And so it became amen. So every time that you say amen, you are proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the mighty and faithful king. That's what you're proclaiming. You're saying that you are putting all of your trust. When you say amen, you're saying, I put all of my trust in Jesus. and in His word and His promises. And here's what Paul said about those who put their trust in Jesus. He said they would never be put to shame. I have it somewhere. This is in Romans chapter 10, verse 11. The scripture says, "No man who believes in Him, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in Him, will ever be put to shame or be disappointed." Anybody here experienced disappointment because you've prayed for something, you stood in faith for something, you didn't see it come to pass? This is the importance of understanding. When you say amen, it's not just an end of transmission statement. It is a statement of faith, and there is power that is behind it. And so when you say amen, you are saying, "I put all of my trust in you, Jesus, and in your word that you have spoken." So what are you praying for? When you say amen, it can't be, "I'm praying for this, amen. I sure hope that comes to pass." No, it has to be, "I'm praying, I'm standing, I'm believing. Your word says this, I'm believing it. And I know Jesus is true and faithful to His word." So here's the next step to going deeper in understanding the word amen. And remember, the word amen is based on this acronym of Hebrew words with no vowels. So with that in mind, if you go back to the 2nd century AD, so we're talking 100 to 200 AD, or roughly 100 years after the life of Christ. We're talking a long time ago. There was a Jewish rabbi. His name was Reish Lakish. And this is what Reish Lakish said in the 2nd century. I actually want you to see this. He said, "One who answers amen with all of his strength, they open the gates of the Garden of Eden before them." Now, how did Rabbi Lakish come to this rather dynamic conclusion? Well, it's based on his understanding of the proper translation or the proper understanding of Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 2. So, keeping all this in mind, I want you to see Isaiah 26, verse number 2. I want you to see it in the complete Jewish Bible. "Open the gates. Let the righteous nation enter, a nation that," and look at this last phrase, "that keeps faith." Now, Reverend Lakish would tell us that when you read that last phrase, "that keeps faith," we shouldn't read it as "that keeps faith." That the accurate translation should be "one who says amen." Because Rabbi Lakish contends that if you use the proper vowels in between the consonants of the words that Isaiah is speaking, you get the word amen instead of the word faith. And as a side note, even today, if you look in modern Hebrew, you look at the word amen, you look at the word faith, they both have the exact same root word. So those words are tied together. We'll see how that plays out a little bit later as well. But Reverend Lakish is telling us that we have to read that as "one who says amen." So Rabbi Lakish is saying that he understands the word amen is an acronym for God, faithful King. He's also saying he understands that Isaiah is telling us that the one who says strongly, in other words, there's faith behind this, the one who says strongly amen and puts his trust and faith in the word of God, he opens up the gates. What gates is he opening up? Well, according to the Old Covenant understanding and perspective of Rabbi Lakish and those who were with him and those who believed like him, to them, it meant that the one, and this is powerful, the one who says strongly amen in response to the word of God opens up the gates to the Garden of Eden, or to what they would view as being paradise. So Reverend Lakish was saying that when you strongly say amen, you're opening up so that they could see into paradise. Now look, they had no understanding at all of seeing into the throne room of God, but it's basically the same concept that they had. Now, when you let that kind of filter into your mind, and you think about that, as you let that settle in, let's consider the next verse, the verse that comes immediately after this verse that Rabbi Lakish and those who came after him declared was speaking about when we speak amen, that it opens up the gates to paradise. Here's the very next verse after that, very familiar verse to us. Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. The one who says, amen, trusting God and trusting his word, opens up the gates to the Garden of Eden. The one who says, amen, the one who speaks, amen, not only opens up the gates to the Garden of Eden, but they will also be the ones whose minds are stayed on God. And because their minds are stayed on God, they are in perfect peace, just as Adam was when Adam was walking with God in the Garden of Eden before the fall. The depth of this word that we use so often is so powerful, so beautiful. This is Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. This is giving us the clear idea and understanding that it was God's common practice to walk with man in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, with that verse, I want to point out two other things. The phrase that we see there at the beginning, the phrase that says the sound of the Lord, that actually means the very voice of God himself. The phrase that says in the cool of the day, cool is from a Hebrew word which means wind, like a cool breeze. But it's also the same word that is used to speak about the wind of the Holy Spirit. I think, I should look it up, I think it's the word rauk, but it's the same Hebrew word. It is a reference to the very Spirit of God. So it's speaking to us about the Spirit of God. And when we say amen, it gives us an idea of what we're talking about. So let me ask you this question. If we know that he's talking about the voice of God and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, let me ask you a question. How often do you struggle to hear the voice of God in your daily life? Because I would think the majority of the people that I've spoken to over almost 40 years in ministry, it's one of the most common things that people not complain about, but they're grieved about. Common to hear people say, I just don't hear the voice of God. Well, this is what this word is speaking to us about. It's the voice of God. When we say amen, it is opening up those gates of heaven. The one who says amen is opening up. The one who says that and says it in faith, he's opening up those gates. The one who says it is opening up the doors, is opening up the gates to the very throne room of God. When you say amen with this understanding, you are opening up the doors to his presence so that you can hear him speaking directly to you through the Holy Spirit. Now for the Jews, they only got to see into. This is what Rabbi Lakish was talking about. They just got to see, just a view into paradise, into the garden. But this is a picture of you in the presence of God, in his presence, in his kingdom, listening to him speak to you on a daily basis. This is a picture of you in the presence of God, and there is perfect peace in his presence. And in his presence, we are positioned to be able to possess his promises. That's a lot of alliteration. But it's all true. In his presence is perfect peace. And in his presence, we are positioned as believers to possess his promises. And that's a beautiful thing that we need to hang on to. We need to believe so we can possess those promises. But this is the beauty of the depth of the word amen. This is about more than just possessing his promises. Because when we speak a faith-affirming statement of faith, amen. When we speak that, this is taking us even deeper. This is not just about possessing. When we speak it as a statement of faith, it is also precipitating a change of heart. it brings about a corresponding change of heart, which results in your desire to be in his presence, to be walking with him in that cool of the day kind of imagery, in that cool of the day kind of intimacy with God, just like Adam had, and just like God has provided for you through the Holy Spirit today. When you say amen, you are possessing the promises, but it's also changing your heart, and you need to see yourself intimately walking with him in his presence in the cool of the day, just like Adam did in the garden. So, going back to the ancient Jewish rabbis and sages, they understood the word amen through the Old Covenant perspective. But that Old Covenant perspective actually guides us. It actually points us to the New Covenant understanding of the word amen. And think about this. Under the Old Covenant, the God of righteousness had no other recourse but to respond with righteous anger when his people turned to idolatry and turned to disobedience. And in his righteous anger, the Bible tells us that God broke down the temple in Jerusalem. Listen to what it says in Lamentations, and see if anything sounds kind of familiar to you here. This is Lamentations chapter 2, verse number 6. Speaking of God, and I really want you to focus on just this first sentence. And he has violently broken down his temple like a booth or hedge or of a garden. God walked with Adam. God walked with man in the Garden of Eden. God created man, and then he created the Garden of Eden so that God could be with man. He wants us to have the desire to be in his presence. God walked with man in the garden, but because of sin, man was cast out of the Garden of Eden. But God, in his great love, because he wants his desires to be with us, then God established the temple of God, because the temple is the place where God met with man. It's the place where God met with man in this fallen world. But then again, man's sin results in God breaking down the temple of God like a garden, or as in the garden, in the same way. So once again, we see that man no longer had access to God. But we, you and I today, as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit today. The blood of Jesus Christ has restored our relationship with Father God, and through the Holy Spirit, we have access to Father God, to Jesus Christ, at all times. Now that brings us to a whole nother level of understanding of the words that were spoken almost 2,000 years ago by Rabbi Lakesh. Let me give you those words again. He said, "One who answers amen with all of his strength opens the Garden of Eden before him." Well, now amen is your all-access pass to Jesus Christ, to all of his promises, and to the throne room of God. So walk in that every day. And that is the time to say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Praise him. And this is actually a really good place to say praise him, because it brings us to the next point. Amen is actually a form of praise. It's part of the depth of the meaning. It's a form of praise. The word amen appears about 26 times in the Old Testament, depending upon which version you're looking at. 26 times in the Old Testament. About a third of those times, it is tied to or is in direct reference to praise. For example, in Nehemiah, when the people are returning back to Jerusalem and reestablishing temple worship in Jerusalem, Ezra rises up amongst the people and he reads aloud from the Word of God, specifically from the Law of Moses. And this is what he read. This is in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 3. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The people listened attentively, and they received the word of God. And when they received the word of God, they responded with a loud amen that we read three verses later. Verse number 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all of the people answered, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. When the people said amen to the word of God, when God's people responded to his word by saying amen, what they were saying was, we agree to live obediently to your word. Obedience is a part of praise. So you and I, when we say amen, when you hear someone speak a word of God, and it's the word of God that you know, all of a sudden there is a revelation of truth, speak amen. Because when you and I, when we say amen to the word of God, we are saying that we will live by the word of God. And this is one of the highest forms of praise that you can give. Because you're responding to his word of God, saying, I will live in obedience to your word. And it's one of the highest forms of praise, because it's your way of saying, Lord, I know you personally through the word of God. And I trust you, and I will receive from you, and I will live in obedience to your word. Thank you, Jesus. So here's the final point I want to make this morning. To me, it's noteworthy that the last word in the entire Bible is the word amen. It's the very last thing that is said in the word of God. This is Revelation chapter 22, verse number 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So the Bible is the word that God gave us to teach us about himself. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are all revealed to us in the word of God. It's in the word of God that he makes known his plans and his promises for us. And it's here he chose at the very end of his book of love to us to end it with a single word sentence. Stand alone. Amen. So what did John, who's the author, what was he saying amen to? Well, being that it's the last word in the Bible, clearly John is saying every word in this Bible from in the beginning to all the way to the end, you can trust that word. But specifically, John is saying amen to grace. Look at this in the Amplified Bible. The grace, blessing, and favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, be with all of the saints, God's holy people, those set apart for God to be, as it were, exclusively his. Amen. So let it be. He's saying amen to grace, into the grace of Jesus Christ. Grace of Jesus Christ. Grace is Jesus giving us all of the things that we do not deserve, but he gives them to us anyway because of his great love for us. Grace is giving us his promises, his favor, his blessings because of his great love for us. It is by grace that through the Holy Spirit you can have revelation and understanding of everything that is in all 66 books of that Bible. And it's because of his grace that through the Holy Spirit you have the power to receive every blessing and every promise that he speaks in here or that he speaks in here. It is through grace that you have the power through the Holy Spirit to walk intimately with him in his presence. So say amen to all of that with grateful hearts. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for all that you reveal to us, because from all of this, I'm just stunned by how much you desire to be with us and how you've provided the opportunities for us to be in your presence. I thank you and I praise you. I thank you that you continue to speak to us. You continue to teach us. You continue to give us revelation. We are open to hear you in everything, and we give you praise for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. 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 Let's stand up and close in a song of praise and worship this morning.